Fourth and final hour of 3D here on 102.5 The Game. In just a moment, we'll have Chris Mason. I don't know if he's out cutting his lawn or what he's doing, if he's back to chores.
Well, you remember, he took a trip.
He has a honeydew list.
He did some commentating.
He did.
Up in Canada, TSN. In his homeland.
But it was not for the playoffs.
No, it was for a junior tournament.
I know. We need to get him to clarify.
We'll
I don't know exactly.
It was an important youth tournament.
Well, as I was told, it was a much bigger deal back in the day. It's not as big of a deal today as it was.
But it had national TV coverage in Canada.
Well, yeah, but there's anything hockey related as
it gets on. Curling gets on a lot.
It's kind of a big deal. Yeah. Anything on ice in Canada, it's kind of a big deal.
But I saw Mace. He was in the house on Monday night. He was back in the fray, so he is up on the series for sure.
Yeah. I think I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think he's doing game five. I hope he's not working the series. I'll just put it that way. Because I think he's doing game five, I think.
The if necessary.
If necessary. So like I said, I hope he doesn't take this wrong way. Hope he doesn't work this series. Let's bring in CMace30 on Twitter. Former Predators goaltender, now part of our broadcast team. Was that information correct? If there is, would you be in the booth for game five?
I am not sure.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay. Well,
but it's possible.
And I probably should have said that. That's
it's possible.
I'm going to take my shoes off because I just stepped in. It stinks in there. So, we were talking about you being up north for TSN. As it was described to me in Chicago, it's something and like I said, once again, this info may be wrong, something that used to be a much bigger deal than it is today, but still obviously a big deal. What were you covering?
I was covering the senior men's national championship. It's the Allen Cup final. It's a bunch of ex-pro college players play it. It's one of the oldest trophies in Canada. It was originated in 1909, and they broadcast the final game of that tournament on TSN. And I had the pleasure of doing that, and that was with Brian Munns, Winnipeg Jets play-by-play color guy too. So it was a blast.
Well, your assessment of the three games thus far in this series, what's your takeaway?
I mean, honestly, I don't think anybody would have expected that, including, maybe the Predators themselves. I think they honestly have this has gone picture perfect. Pekka has been outstanding. The defense have really locked it down. The forwards are playing both ends of the ice. They're back checking through the neutral zone, and they're putting back pressure, limiting Kane and all their superstars, Panarin and all their big names. And they're dominating in-zone play, and they're dominating the puck possession. It's been three textbook games of hockey.
We had Rick DiPietro on the show yesterday, and I hit him with some goalie questions, so now I want to hit you with a couple things that happened on Monday night. One, let's talk about the first goal by Philip Forsberg, 4.5 minutes into the third period to cut the lead in half. How tough is that? And do you think at any point Crawford, how do you react if you're not sure if it went in the net, the play's going to be dead or where it's at? How do you handle that situation? Of course, we know it did not happen. It did not hit the net. It came back. They took a quick look at it. Forsberg followed the play up. It was Arvidsson with the initial shot and banged it home. How do you play that as a goalie?
Well, obviously he thought he got beat, but you have to play it until it's a for sure goal and the play's over. And maybe, there might be times where, yes, it did go in and you're still battling to get the puck and you might look kind of stupid or whatever. But, in a situation like that, where had he not given up on the play, I mean, he could have saved a goal and, the Blackhawks would have could have likely ended up with a win. So it's one of those things. You play it until you hear the whistle and 100% certain that play's dead.
We talked about it on postgame Monday. We talked about it yesterday on the show. I believe that the NHL needs to fix their rule book a little bit. And this is just my belief. I believe the blue ice, the crease, should be property of the goaltender. Outside of the crease, outside of the blue ice, you go out there, it's fair game. That's my belief. And I think that Victor Arvidsson had every right to try to get his space just like Corey Crawford, because Corey Crawford was out of the crease. Now, of course, Chicago challenged it, and it was a good goal. But to me, I don't think the goalies should be able to go out anywhere they want, and nobody can still touch them. I just think once you get out of that crease, I think it's game on. How do you feel as a former goaltender?
Well, I feel like it's a balance. Like when you're out of that crease in situations like that, incidental contact, definitely you should not get a goal called back. They made the right call. He was out of the crease. I don't think you should be able to run goalies because, you know, they're 99% of the time in a defenseless position. So it's, you know, it's not like they're going to be going out laying body checks and this and that. But like in situations like that, I definitely think if you're out of the blue, and I also think that you as a goaltender, if you don't have a piece of your body in the crease, you shouldn't be allowed to cover the puck, and it should be delay a game. So that's another kind of extension to that theory there. But they made the right call. We were watching the game. I was watching with JP Dumont, and we both agreed, you know, 100% that should be a goal. But, you know, we've seen some interesting calls this year, so I think they definitely got that one right.
Yeah, I've learned not to go on any assumptions after this year. Because every time I think one way, it's more times than not, it's been the other way. So I've kind of put that out of my mindset.
Remember the first three words of the referee when he turned his mic on was, "We have no," and I thought he, you know, if he'd have said no goals, you know, "We have no goaltender interference on the play. It's a good goal."
That was great.
What a drama queen that ref was. He was just trying to build it up. Philip Forsberg, who had two goals and tied it up on Monday and pushed it to overtime. Philip Forsberg was on NHL Network with EJ Raddick and the crew yesterday afternoon, and I got a chance to watch it. And I don't know if you've heard his comments, but here's something that Philip Forsberg told the crew on NHL Network about Kevin Fiala yesterday.
Oh, he was. I mean, definitely. He said even before going out to the OT that he was going to do it. And obviously had that big chance, as you mentioned, like Crawford made a great save. And yeah, he was obviously a little frustrated. Just guys keep telling him that he's going to get it. And, I mean, yeah, he did.
What does that tell you about a 20-year-old who told his team before they hit the ice to overtime, "Hey, I got this. I'm going to win this for us." And now it makes a ton of sense why he was playing with his hair on fire in overtime and was, I mean, just all over Chicago and Crawford and had his chances, and then he was finally rewarded at the end.
Well, you know, this is a confident kid. I've talked to Scott Nickel the last couple of years. He's a player development guy for the Preds. He's told me that this kid wants it. He wants to be a superstar. He's got that confidence. The guys joke around and say he's really confident in his abilities, kind of half joking. But you see this kid out there. Not many guys in the league have the ability to beat players and NHL defensemen one on one. He has that skill. He knows he's good, and he's hungry. Like he's had a taste. He's got better. He's got his humble pies get sent down to Milwaukee to work on his game defensively because he's not quite there yet. Now it's starting to come together. He's figuring that part of the game out, which is enabling him get more of these opportunities. And this guy has elite skill, and we're seeing it in full force in this series. So just an unbelievable, unbelievable goal in the overtime.
You know, Chris, though, it's a fine line as a professional athlete, especially a young professional athlete, right? I mean, everybody has confidence at that level, but you're right. How to channel that confidence. But it's also, to me, what's very interesting about this is for a 20-year-old to stand up in a room and say, "I got this, I'm going to win it for us," and then go out there and follow through. That's what's really impressive to me. It's one thing to say it, but for it to actually happen, that's where it gets to a different level for me.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And it also shows you that the leadership, because it's not always like this where a young guy feels like they have a voice in a locker room. You know, they've created an environment there where everybody feels secure and is part of this team and, you know, has the confidence to stand up and, you know, tell his teammates. And, you know, even if he's, you know, half joking or whatever, you could tell he was playing a great game and he was feeling it. And, you know, he went with it and man, what an effort to score that overtime goal. It was just incredible.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking Predators, Blackhawks. And Chris, if you read a lot of what's coming out of the Chicago camp right now, it is all beginning with, if this series is going to turn We've got to do a better job on that Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson line. That line is really setting the tone, it seems like, for the series, with the exception of the second period in the first game. That line, and really that line wasn't brilliant in that game, but they did get the goal. But the last couple of games in particular, they've spent a lot of time in the Chicago end.
I honestly, I can't even remember ever seeing Chicago look like they have. In that first period, I was sitting right in that end, actually, and some of the shifts that they put together, it was just complete dominance. And I've honestly, I can't say that I've ever seen that happen to Chicago, you know, with the exception of maybe a couple shifts here and there, but just the way that they controlled the puck, they cycled it, they were making plays, creating space. They're playing the best hockey of the year by far. You know, the knock on Phil the last couple postseasons is, you know, teams were able to shut him down. You know, he had a great regular season. He scored 30-plus goals. But come the postseason, they want to shut down your top line. You know for a fact in the dressing room before the game, they're saying, shut this line down. That's number one. You get this, we'll take care of the rest. But you shut this line down, and they can't do it. And you're talking about a team that's been a dynasty this last decade. And, you know, the success that Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg are having against them is just, it's unbelievable. And it's just next level. I don't know if I've ever seen them play as well as they're playing right now.
The other theme I'm hearing a lot from the Chicago perspective, and just reading their clippings, is the fact that the Predators are defending a lot better than they have. And we've talked about this as a theme, the balance of attacking and going for it and being able to score, which is a great trait to have as a team, but also balancing it against a team that has equal ability to score. But if you look at, obviously it starts with Pekka, but the defensemen have been a very, very good measure of this, and the forwards are part of it as well, aren't they? I mean, they've done a pretty good job of not giving up a whole lot of easy stuff to where Chicago can feast like they have for years and years. If you make a mistake, they will make you pay.
Yeah, there's so many elements to this. It's, you know, it starts with, you know, we just talked about the Johansson line, their puck possession. The longer they have the puck, obviously takes it out of the Chicago hands. And, you know, they're going to create their own offense. And the thing is, you just can't give them any extra ones. And I think at times this year, you know, the Preds have gambled a little bit offensively, and maybe defensemen jumping up, and I think now they're just making such smart decisions of when to go and when not to. You know, same thing with the forwards, putting that back pressure on the Blackhawks, not letting Patrick Kane, which he loves to do, is pull up and go east-west, cross ice. They're not giving them that space out there. So it's just everybody is clicking, and it's, you know, teams go through stretches during seasons. Maybe it's in January where, you know, you're playing your best hockey and everything, everybody seems to be on board. And right now, this is the best hockey that the Predators have played this season for sure. And it's just everybody's going, and it's unbelievable.
Peter Laviolette has proven to be pretty good at pushing the right buttons. But I think this will be the challenge, especially with the extra off day today, is to continue to play, keep that same edge. You have to make sure that you don't let a great team like the Blackhawks and some of those great players who have been through this before get any life. But it's something you can't control as a coach, but certainly you have to keep pounding into that mental edge. Hey, you haven't done anything until you win four games, and you don't want the momentum to turn.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, I'm sure they're reinforcing that message every single time they talk to the team, and I know the players know it. You know, sometimes it's hard, you know, that little foreshadowing creeps in your head. You're like, you know what, we're up 3-0. If they get one, while we still have three more opportunities, well, like you just mentioned, this is the last team that you want to give any life to, because we've seen them, you know, in a ton of situations with their backs against the wall, and they've come out on the other end of it. Nashville has an unbelievable opportunity. If they don't have to change anything, they just have to continue to play the way they're playing right now, play with that hunger, play with the, you know, all five guys on the ice mentality. Peck is just, you know, he's playing the best hockey maybe of his career. He's just been unbelievable the last month, and this series he's just been unbelievable. So they have to have that killer instinct and play exactly like they have early in the series.
Let's ask you one more from a goalie's perspective here. In Bridgestone Arena, I think we've seen enough games now to where more so than most buildings. I don't know about every building every night, but you can get some goofy bounces off those stanchions, as we saw a number of different times. I mean, the one that hits the stanchion and comes back over the net, where Corey Crawford just assumed the puck was out of play, Philip Forsberg cashes in. But what about the one where Pekka sees it come off the sideboards and he's got to dive back and save a goal in the first period? What are you taught to do when a team clears it down ice and you want to get out aggressively like Pekka does and play the puck from behind the net? But you always have to have in the back of your mind, you've got to anticipate the bad bounce, don't you?
Well, that was probably one of the best I've ever seen. I still can't believe he got back and got a piece of that puck to deflect it wide, because that was going right in the middle of the net. But, you know, it's different for every goalie. Pekka is obviously one of the top, if not the top, puck-handling goalie in the NHL. So he's going to take his chances. He's going to go out there, try to get behind the net, stop that puck, set it up, or move it to his defenseman. If it were me in there, honestly, and if I had a building like that, you know, there's times I probably wouldn't go just to chance that, because my puck-playing ability wasn't really going to make that much of a difference anyway. So, you know, it's kind of a different thing. But when you're a visitor coming into a building where you know they have those, it's a possibility, you just try to stay close to your net. But Peck is so good at playing the puck, he just makes such a huge difference out there. So he's going to get out there every chance he can.
Chris, always a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you at the arena tomorrow night for Game 4.
Awesome, guys. Thanks. Can't wait. Let's go, Preds.
All right. Chris Mason, former Predators goaltender, now part of our broadcast team, CMace30 on Twitter. Give him a follow, and we always appreciate his visit every Wednesday with us. We'll have Harry Z, Harry's owner, Chuck, at the bottom of the hour. Join us here on 3D. More coming. Back here on 3D, 102.5 The Game. We'll have another chance for you to win here shortly. Another chance for someone to get the opportunity to go to Game 4 tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. I don't know how the atmosphere can be topped from Monday night, but I guess with the elimination on the line, I'd say it's got a real shot to be topped. But, man, that's going to be hard.
I think it's...
Oh, it will be topped.
It's going to be right up there.
It will be topped.
Because it'll have to be really, really loud.
I mean, Carrie Fisher did the national anthem.
Did you just call her Carrie Fisher?
Yeah, I don't know why I said Carrie Fisher.
Wow.
Why did I say Carrie Fisher? Why did I say Carrie Fisher?
I mean, I guess that's...
Well, she's married to Mike Fisher.
Right. I was thinking Carrie Underwood.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Married to Mike Fisher.
Fisher.
And yeah, there is a famous Carrie Fisher,
yeah,
who just passed away.
Just Carrie, passed away. Then Fisher. Yeah. Well,
I mean, it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen.
It happens.
Well, it gave Willie the opportunity to bring up Star Wars.
We love Star Wars. Can we talk Star Wars?
But no.
Can we play some Star Wars?
She sung the national anthem. There's a surprise for the next upcoming game. I'm telling you, everybody's going to bring their brooms. You know? And it's going to be even more electric. I think tomorrow, I firmly believe, if we were to measure from the edge of the curb to Bridgestone, get the measurements today, I guarantee you that if the Preds win, you measure it again, it'll be closer to the street. The whole building will be closer to the street.
So you think there's a chance the stone moves tomorrow?
It's going to move. It's going to be loud.
I will tell you a true story.
It's going to be out loud, man.
I will tell you a true story. When they had that thing rocking right before the game, they had the Nash was flying from the top, and they had the lights, you know, the bracelets came on and everything. The music was pulsating. I put my computer where I always put it before the game, but the vibrations on the table, you know, like if you leave something on top of the dryer and the things are going.
So it's
my
moving?
Computer.
Was it moving?
It was moving.
It fell off the thing.
There you go.
See?
I swear.
See, it
fell
happened.
Off.
I'm telling you, Darren, it can
it
happen.
It fell off
the of
vibration
my,
from the song,
of my
from
setup.
The beat.
You didn't jump up out of your seat and knock it
I
off?
I did not touch it. I had witnesses.
See, you do that.
I was worried I broke
move.
It.
But
I thought
fall
I broke
off?
It. It fell off.
If it's
it
there,
slid right off.
Eventually, it'll move with all the vibration.
Now, I'll say this. I have
That's
it.
Gonna happen
the
bridge,
way I have it, you can look here. The edge of it has to hang off to start with, because there's just not enough room on there with everything else that's on there. But the music and the vibration and the energy, it just slid steadily, and then it finally just
that's
went
what's
off.
Happen.
I didn't notice.
That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you. So if you find yourself
that's never happened before,
moving a little bit, you know where, you know why it's happening.
So it's going to be closer to the street.
Yeah, it's going to be closer to the street. I'm not saying how much closer, but it's going to be closer to the street. So fans, make it rock because we want to move the building. Make it loud.
It was really cool. And you've seen the videos, of course. I've learned.
Yeah, you
my
yeah,
video hopefully yeah. will be better. Hopefully I get another chance on
you get one more shot. That's it. That's
to
it.
Do a better video because yeah. I turned my phone after I started and I realized you can't do that. But it was crazy. I mean, when Kevin Fiala ended it, mm-hmm. to think that that can be topped. Remember, that is just like the other two. By the way, the Predators last two seasons, they're 3-0 in overtime games at home. When you win it like that, I mean, that is at the height. If you're in control and 00 hits and you've been cheering the whole final minute, that's loud. But when you win it, I mean, that's a different level. That'll be hard if they're in control and they're up 4-2 or whatever and time just winds down and they eliminate the Blackhawks. Yes, it'll be loud. But I'm saying when you
score,
win in overtime, yeah. everybody erupts at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
So – that's going to be hard to top. I hope you're right, but that'll be hard. They'll have to bring it tomorrow.
If they win with a last-second goal, they win with a last-second goal, no one stand near the windows. Don't stand near the windows. It's going to be that loud. They're just going to...
Well, I hope it's not a last-second goal.
I'm just saying. I hope it's
easy.
Not either.
I hope
it's 6-0.
I know, but I'm just saying I'd rather be easy.
10-0.
Sharks, yeah. Oilers last night.
I hope it's like
7-0. That'd be cool. Could you imagine?
Oh, if it happened like
seven,
that.
Now,
oh,
if it was 7-0, you're right. I think Bridgestone would end up next to the Omni.
Yeah.
If it was 7-0, people would come out and run into the Omni and say, what happened?
Did I park here?
Why am I in the lobby of the Omni? It would be connected.
Oh, my goodness.
The Bridgestone and the Omni Hotel would be connected.
The Bridge Omni. There we go.
We come back. Harry Zolnerchuk, he will join us on 3D. We will have that interview next.
Feel it coming in the air. Yeah. Hear the screams from everywhere. Yeah. I'm addicted to the thrill. It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's
on my mind. Predators come back. Fiala goes wide for Yarncroke. And slowed down the flow of the play a little bit by going wide. Now Neal for Fiala. He scores! He scores! At 16:44 of the overtime period. Yes, folks. Go eight indeed. For the first time in Predators history, they have a 3-0 Stanley Cup playoff series lead.
Very cool. We were actually watching it during the break. If you want to go to NashvillePredators.com to see the ending of that, really cool. And certainly there's a lot of videos out there circulating, but to be in there and to feel it, it was really cool. Let's also get a different perspective. Let's get a player's perspective of what it was like. Harry Zolnerchuk is on the line with us. Harry, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
What was it like as a player when Fiala gets it past Crawford and that place explodes?
No, it was unbelievable. I mean, just it happened so quickly, to be honest. I mean, you know, you're just coming off a shift, you're ready for your next one, and next thing you know, Neil's made an unbelievable pass to Fiala, and he's walking across the crease, and he slides it in, and the place just goes nuts. And it was, it was great to be a part of. It was a fun night for sure.
I remember talking to you that morning after skate, and it's one thing to go through the experience at the United Center in Chicago, where you guys recorded two shutouts, and to take the crowd completely out of it. And oh, by the way, those were your two first postseason games in your career. And then I asked you, what is it going to be like, Harry, to experience it now in front of the home crowd? So now that you've logged that first game in front of the home crowd, what was it like?
Yeah, it was, I guess it was something I really couldn't expect, to be honest. Obviously, the United Center was a great atmosphere, and I think we were fortunate enough to keep those guys off the scoreboard and not really let that place fit into it. And then on the flip side, being back home, just, I mean, our fans, I mean, once we got that first one, you could tell they were dying for a goal, and And once we were able to come through with one and then another, you could tell the place was just ready to pop. And at that point, I think momentum and the energy was all kind of on our side. And I think we knew we were going to be able to get it done after that.
Okay, so, Harry, I saw you have your moment, just like every one of your teammates, with Kevin Fiala in the aftermath of that score. But tell me what it's like, the practicality. You're on the bench, you're watching, you're hoping, and then, boom, it goes in there. And everybody comes flying off the bench. Those are the great moments that you live for there. So take me through your route.
Did you hug anyone yeah. before you jumped over
yeah,
the wall?
Yeah, take us from the bench to when you actually meet Kevin Fiala.
You know what? I can't remember if I was actually ready, if I was next to jump on. So if I was looking for my guy to change, or if I just coming off. But regardless, I kind of wasn't watching the whole thing develop. I only just kind of saw this last split second. So as soon as it went in, it was kind of just, I think I just jumped. I don't even think I hugged anybody, and I flew over the boards, and I came down to Fiala, and then, you know, he was already mobbed by, you know, 10, 12 guys, so it was a quick, I don't even think I got to him there, and I turned around and went out to Pex at center ice, and then we all came back, and then I kind of caught Fiala in the corner, and it was, it was just a ton of fun.
We've been talking about it on the show today. Philip Forsberg let everybody know yesterday on NHL Network that Kevin Fiala told you guys during the break, before you ever hit the ice in overtime, that he got you guys. He was going to win it. He was going to win it in overtime. How did that not get out in postgame?
Some things that don't get out.
But well, for a 20-year-old to say that, that's, in a room full of guys and to follow through, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable player. I mean, he's got tremendous skill and confidence to go along with all that skill. And I mean, I think that's what makes these young guys so great these days. Is not only do they have the skill, but they're not afraid to kind of demand the puck and try and take over the game. And I don't think the hockey is used to seeing that, you know, from way back when, and it's kind of more now you see the guys like McDavid and Crosby came in. Obviously, there's a few way back, but now you see a lot of these younger guys that are coming in and dominating right off the bat. And it's nice to see a kid with confidence come in and feel like he can do it and then make good on it.
Harry Zolnarchuk on the line with us. I asked you during second period intermission on the AT&T call to locker room, all right, you're down a couple goals. What do you got to do? What's the message heading into the third? And you said, hey, it's one at a time. Got to get one and then go from there. And that's what you guys did. Right out of the gates, less than 4.5 minutes in, you cut the lead in half. It's down to a one-goal game, and you've still got a lot of the period left. How much does that change your mentality when that actually plays out and now you know it's on?
Yeah, I mean, the two-goal lead, I mean, they say it's one of the most dangerous leads in hockey, and, it truly is because, you know, the team, for whatever reason, sometimes you're up two and you know, the ice kind of tilts and you kind of caught defending that two-goal lead and the team, you know, we're in the situation, you know, just if you get one, then it's, you know, you're right there then because then one more is ultimately push you to OT or gives you a chance to win it later on. And, that was obviously the story for us. We just need the one and to get the one and let the crowd get into it and obviously, you know, feed into the next one for that second goal. And then after that, I mean, it was, we were buzzing after that.
Harry Zolnarchuk is with us, Predators forward, game four tomorrow night, Predators and Blackhawks. And Harry, you and your line mates, Mike Fisher, Austin Watson, have really done a great job of setting the tone with the way you guys want to play, that mentality of speed and tempo, and for you guys in particular, a little extra physicality there. Just tell us the mindset, how you get that mindset going, because you've been able to carry that mindset down to the ice.
Yeah, I think that's, all three of us look to kind of play that, a high-tempo physical game, and to all of us be on the same line when we get out there, we're looking to create that energy and close on some of their defense and some of their forwards and kind of eliminate time and space and when we get a chance to bring some bodies you kind of over the course of a series, that kind of starts to wear teams down. So we know that that's something that we got to do in order to be successful. And, I mean, it's obviously it's a lot nicer to be able to do it at home and kind of have your fans behind you and cheering kind of after every hit or goal or your shot or something like that. So it's been a lot of fun.
I was asked about this morning, but you're a good guy to ask because you've put this into play. You guys have great depth on this team. There have been, for the last few weeks, especially since the trading deadline, some extra forwards that are fighting to get in there. You went through a stretch of time where you were a healthy scratch for a while, but you get the call and you're ready to go. How did you try to keep yourself ready for when the opportunity hit?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously just you know, a lot of the work that's going on kind of after practice and the skates and things, the extra kind of, I guess, conditioning and the bag skates and the workouts and things that the staff and those people kind of have in place for us, knowing that you're not playing and you kind of were always doing something just to make sure you're ready, because you honestly never know when that call is going to come or when things are kind of going to flip. And yeah, we obviously have a lot of guys that could step in at any time, and I think that's kind of what makes us dangerous as we get into the playoffs here.
One of the things that Peter Laviolette has said is an attribute of yours is your positive reinforcement. And this is great for maybe anybody listening that has kids or things like that, because this is such an important element on a team that you can't really quantify. But you seem to have a really good sense of what to say, when to say it. And I can remember a moment during the overtime. You were grabbing Philip Forsberg by the arm and you were kind of pumping him up. This is something that you're good at. Not everybody can do it. But tell us how, maybe who are the influences on you that helped you learn how to do that and how you try to carry that through your teammates on the bench?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously just a personality, I guess something that I've developed over my time of playing in competitive sports. And you know, I think my dad was—he was always someone that was talking and loud and kind of always in the mix. And yeah, I think it's more—it's something, you know. I guess just whenever there's a moment where kind of guys could be frustrated or, you know, things aren't going their way, it's just, you know, sometimes it's just nonsense, but it's just kind of words or some type of encouragement or something that you know, guys can kind of just feed off if they're. Thinking something different, you know. And yeah, like I said, it's just trying to bring some life and energy to the room and the bench, and, you know, whether I'm on the ice or not, it just yeah, something to keep the guys going. And it's not always easy. There's obviously ups and downs throughout a game, throughout the season and things like that, and I think I'm always just looking to kind of make sure there's a positive side and some energy coming along with it.
Last thing for you, Harry. This is an important game coming up here where you want to try to keep that grip. You want to keep that focus, the momentum going your way. And you know in the other locker room you've got guys who have had greatness in the past. So that probably makes it a little bit easier for you to keep that edge, knowing how capable the Blackhawks are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any lead is safe at this point in the season or in the playoffs. I mean, especially a team like the Chicago Blackhawks, who've been super successful over the last 6 years. And, I mean, we're definitely not looking to take these guys lightly. We actually, you know, we don't want to change anything about the way we've been approaching kind of each game so far. And we'll be looking to approach game four as we've done the first three. And like I said, we're just looking to take it one game at a time, and ultimately we'll be looking to finish them off tomorrow night.
Harry, during one of the TV timeouts on Monday night on the Jumbotron, there was a spelling contest. The word was Zolnarchuk.
Yeah.
And Boteto was the only one, I believe, that got it. How many takes did it take? Did he legitimately get it on the first try, or was there some editing?
No, he got it on the first try. They were saying I helped him out in the background. I wasn't sure, but I think he was the only one.
There were some guys got close. They just flip-flopped a couple letters.
Flopping letters,
a couple letters.
But
yeah,
that's all it takes. You know, you gotta be sharp.
That's not an easy one. That's not an easy one.
Did you watch it when that's going on, or what do you do when that's happening?
No, I mean, yeah, you catch a glimpse of it. I mean, it's you can see it going on there. But yeah, no, it was funny. It was a good laugh. I got a kick out of it.
Good stuff. Harry, we really appreciate you joining us. Best of luck tomorrow night. Close out the Blackhawks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. That is Harry Zolnarchuk. Really good guy to deal with, and he's been quite the story.
He has made an impact on this
series. He really has.
Big goal and every shift out there. He's skating with the captain. Mike Fisher, he's out there with Austin Watson. They've set the tone.
Of course, set the tone in game two with that second goal early on in the second period to extend the lead to 2-0 and really, I think, change the whole complexion of the game. I think at that point, you could feel the air starting to go out of the United Center when Zolnarchuk scored in game two that second goal. All right, another opportunity. Peyton Turner, at PeytonTurner1 on Twitter. Peyton submitted a photo, hashtag RockTheGold. Peyton, you have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to claim your tickets to Game 4 tomorrow night, Bridgestone Arena, 615-399-1029, 615-399-1029. Get in there, Peyton, and if you do so, we will see you at Bridgestone tomorrow. Keep those photos coming in via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Once again, use the hashtag RockTheGold, and you could be in the building tomorrow night. Come back and wrap up the show next.
Power station going here. A little mid-80s MTV video.
Good little tune. Get you pumped up. Maybe you got Kevin pumped up. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, I'm pumped up big time. Preds are going to bring the brooms on Thursday night, I believe.
Well, we hope you're right.
I really feel like they've got the complete game. But, hey, I wanted to share an observation I think was really funny, interesting. Fox Sports really had some good camera shots after the victory the other night.
Tremendous camera shots. They did an awesome job.
It's like you were in the studio. We were talking about that during the break.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
There was one of Jonathan Toews.
Yep.
He was standing on the bench.
We were talking about that. Yep.
He had this stunned, dazed look on his face, and I was thinking, That's remarkable, and I've seen that face before. And then I recalled Alexander Golikov, the 1980 Soviet Olympic team. After the game, do you guys remember he was kneeling on the ice, and he had that same look on his face?
Well, the two examples that we stated in studio, like I said, I feel like this place may be bugged, and you were in here listening to us, was...
You're kidding.
Toews, that shot, and then Derek captured the other one of the Blackhawks fan and tweeted out... just the look on his face.
Yeah. If you go online, you know, look at the game and see the ending of the Soviet game and compare the two, it's remarkable. We're talking, 37 years later? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that.
Okay.
It was a really good shot.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Sometimes
kudos to those.
The picture tells everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Picture is worth 1,000,000,000,000 words.
Now, we said this earlier. Jonathan Toews is a great champion. I mean, that guy is the leader. He sets the tone in their locker room. He will be ready to go tomorrow night. And they have given him a handful. They because he's been out against Johansson's line, that line has outplayed his line. There's no question. But there's a lot of pride in there. To do it again, you'll have to be even that much sharper there. But that's been you start circling reasons how the Predators have built this lead. It's that Ryan Johansson's unit has been tough to stop. Arvidsson, Forsberg. And Toews is a great player because if you look at who's with him, now they put him with Marian Hossa in game three, and that'll be something to look for again. But for most of the year, they put guys like Nick Schmaltz and Richard Panik with him. Not great players, but good players who Jonathan Toews is able to bring out more in because of his greatness. But he's having his hands full trying to track all three of a true top line. If you look back through the years, it's been rare that the Predators have had a top line clicking like these three guys are right now. Let's just hope it continues.
I got a chance to be around a lot of the good folks that you work with on the TV side. Got a good crew. Got a really good crew. Got some personalities, too.
Oh, yeah.
They have some stories to tell. We all went out to dinner Wednesday night. I was kind of down there with the people are in, you know, in your ear all the time.
Well, I'll tell you, John Tackett, our director, David White, our producer, I thought that sequence after the goal, just to watch the celebration on one side and then the stunning, I mean, it would be the same for anything. When you lose in overtime, it's just, that's why they call it sudden death. It's just that stunning, what? It's over? No way. You know, the contrast between those two, they had a great sequence of pictures there that really were amazing.
Yep. I got a chance to talk to them about that. I was asking them some questions. What is it? What are they, you know, a lot of behind the scenes stuff that people don't know.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's really cool how they come up with that. There's two games tonight that will have possible eliminations. Not possible. They could eliminate teams. In St. Louis, the Blues have the opportunity to eliminate the Wild, and the Flames are at home facing elimination against the Ducks. How do we see those two playing out tonight?
I mean, the Blues are in that same position as the Predators, having won the first two games on the road. So they're in front of their home crowd trying to complete the sweep.
I'm
sure they're thinking the same thing. Now, in that series, if you look, all three of those games could have gone the other way. That's how close it was. So it would not surprise me at all if Minnesota got a game there. It's not like the Blues have blown out. Haven't all three games been 2-1?
They've been one-goal games.
2-1, 2-1, and I think the last
3-1. 3-1 was the last one, right?
I think it was an empty net goal that made it 3-1. It was tight. So that's an interesting one to watch.
Calgary will probably pull a Columbus. They're at home. They'll push it to a game 5.
They're at home, but what they're trying to overcome is the shock of losing a 4-1 lead. They were up 4-1, and they just, I mean, their goalie
splattered the bed.
I hate to say it, but Brian Elliott did not close. He had trouble. Now he's back in there tonight, so that's a little different when you're on the road trying to close out in Game 4.
The one to watch is, I think you guys just mentioned it, just the Washington-Toronto.
Oh, boy. It's going
to
be
all
tight.
All three games have gone to overtime.
Yes.
Tight behinds in Washington. They have to even it up. They get down 3-1 in that series. It'll be, here we go again. Talk.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to do it for our show. Good stuff. Tomorrow we'll be at Bridgestone Arena. Have a great rest of your day. We want you safe and sound with us tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m.
Bailey DJ Nashville, I love y'all.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So